Just to say on behalf of the Newcastle Stop the War Coalition, I'm Roger Nettleship. I'm the chair of the coalition in Newcastle. And we'd like to welcome you to this online meeting entitled No Return. Sorry, I've just let somebody in. No Return to the Blair Wars, and a discussion on the pamphlet produced by Lindsay German and Andrew Murray for Stop the War, released in February with a foreword by Jeremy Corbyn. And we think this pamphlet is a very important contribution to removing the veil of the warmongers in the leadership of the present Labour Party under its new leader, Keir Starmer. And I think it's also important to say that the veil has been further removed these days by a complete lack of opposition by the Labour Party leadership to these Israeli crimes and almost like a blaming of the victims, whilst the world is in outrage of the continued Israeli ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. So I think that that's the sort of context we're holding the meeting in, and we're very pleased to welcome Lindsay German, one of the authors of the pamphlet, to speak here tonight, as well as Paul Simpson, academic and tutor in modern history at Sunderland University and host of Lives on the Left podcast. And that will be followed by discussion and a chance for questions and contributions. So, yes, I'd like to invite Lindsay German to open the meeting, and then we'll have Paul Simpson. So it's over to you, Lindsay.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Roger, and thanks to everybody for coming. And it's good to be in Newcastle, if only remotely. I've been plenty of times in real life, and I hope to be in Newcastle again in the not too distant future, or to see some of you at various events that are coming up in the next few months. But very good to be here, and particularly kind of pertinent because I'll explain in a minute why we wrote the pamphlet and some of the things that we wanted to talk about with it. But of course, we didn't plan this meeting to coincide with the most hideous bombardment of the Palestinians as is going on this week. And we've seen, in my view, one of the consequences of Blair Wars, which has been over the last two decades, the attempt by Blair and Bush, and then by successive US presidents and British prime ministers, to sort of remake the Middle East in their image. And particularly Israel has always been absolutely central to that policy. An alliance with Israel has been central, as has alliance with Saudi Arabia. And, you know, it was Donald Trump, of course, when he was president, who decided to move the US embassy to Jerusalem, which was a very, very provocative move, who decided that they would give the green light to the illegal settlements in the occupied territories, and who made it absolutely clear that whatever Benjamin Netanyahu wanted to do, there would be pretty much full support from the United States. And of course, if you say the United States in this context, you say Britain as well. So what we're seeing now is something, you know, this probably isn't a surprise to anybody in the room what's happened. We didn't perhaps expect it to be exactly as it has gone, with people being hounded in the streets, with far-right Jewish settlers marching through Jerusalem, shouting death to Arabs, and people who've lived in houses for decades being evicted, or looking like they're going to be evicted from their houses. So we couldn't probably have predicted each of these incidents, but we could have predicted, and did predict, that this kind of move would strengthen the right wing, would strengthen the attacks on the Palestinians by the Israelis, and would make the situation much, much more dangerous. And this is what we're seeing now. I mean, today the Israelis have said they're talking about an invasion of Gaza. And we know as well that when we look at the way in which this is reported in the British media, and no doubt other medias around the world, it's always reported in terms of this has just happened. You know, suddenly these nasty people from Hamas have fired rockets to Tel Aviv and elsewhere in Israel. And this is so Israel had to retaliate by going and bombing whole blocks of flats in Gaza. Now, of course, again, I don't want to go, this isn't a meeting on Palestine, I don't want to go the history of this, but we know that actually over the last 70 and more years, this has been a policy about the displacement of the Palestinians, no right to return, whereas the settlers from the United States and elsewhere have absolute right to go and live in Israel and to take the land of the Palestinians. This is bound to be a conflict, but it isn't just a kind of age-old conflict, it's part of a much wider conflict within the Middle East and to do with the role of US, in particular US imperialism, but before that British and French imperialism in carving up this region throughout the 20th century. So I think very pertinent that we're discussing it tonight, and I hope and I'm absolutely sure that all of you will be demonstrating in the next few days. We've been demonstrating already in London and we're going to be demonstrating with what looks like a very big demonstration at the Israeli embassy on Saturday. So forgive me if I'm a little bit kind of focused on this question. I'll try to talk, however, about the slightly wider questions here. Why we wrote the pamphlet, this No Return to Blair Wars, it was a reply to a pamphlet which was written by two academics in support of open labour. And it was an attempt to move labour on and move labour away from the policies of Jeremy Corbyn under the when Jeremy Corbyn was leader. Now, in many ways, I would be quite critical of Labour even at that time, that there wasn't enough that was done over questions of Palestine, wasn't enough that was done generally over foreign policy or over Trident. But I would say it was Jeremy Corbyn's foreign policy was a real break from the policy that had gone before. And that was incredibly important, I think, for all of us who campaigned against war and for peace, in some cases, some of us for rather a long time now. So that the attempt of the Open Labour pamphlet was to roll back that that Corbyn policy and to go back to the good old days of Tony Blair, Alistair Campbell. We, of course, we've seen that only this week. I don't watch Good Morning Britain. I've certainly made a decision that I will never watch Good Morning Britain as long as Alistair Campbell is a presenter on it, as he is this week. And he interviewed, guess who? Tony Blair. I mean, quite incredible, really, that these are people, you know, Piers Morgan, who I don't have any time for, but Piers Morgan was sacked from Good Morning Britain because he criticised the Duchess of Sussex. And yet, people who were responsible for a war which killed millions of people are heralded as celebrities, as people who've got something to tell the rest of us. And that tells you a lot about the attitude to these to these wars. So we wanted to respond to the pamphlet and we felt it needed a substantial response, not just a few tweets or, you know, a short article. And we wanted to do it on the following grounds, that we wanted to make these points, that the wars engaged in from 2001 onwards, that's 20 years ago this year, this October, the first war against Afghanistan started. We wanted to make the point that these wars were not humanitarian wars. Again, I guess for most of you here, that's not a big debate or a big argument, but this is constantly, we're constantly being told that these wars were about liberating people for democracy, that they were about improving the lives of women in Afghanistan and in other countries. We've been told that they were about getting rid of horrible dictators, all of these kind of things. We always said with Stop the War that that is not what the wars are about. There are many humanitarian crises and abuses that all of us could point to, but the truth of the matter is humanitarian concerns were bottom of the list when you had the occupation of Afghanistan and of Iraq. They're bottom of the list in places like Libya, which still has the civil war, because the main concern was getting control, was regime change and getting control of those countries for both for wealth and strategic reasons. And of course, proved the point, I suppose, again recently, that now Biden is saying that he's going to withdraw the troops from Afghanistan by the anniversary of 9/11 in September. And guess what? Aid to girls' schools and girls' education, which has been held up as this great totem of, you know, justification of military intervention over two decades, that's being cut as well. So this is a cynical and horrible thing. And of course, if you look at the real conditions of people from Kosovo onwards, you look at the states in which those people have been left, they have been some of, if you want to talk about failed states, you want to talk about Kosovo, you want to talk about Afghanistan, you want to talk about the horror that is in Iraq. So that was the first thing we wanted to say. The second thing we wanted to say is that this isn't accidental, you know, that they're not about humanitarianism. Madeleine Albright, who was the Secretary of State, said over the wars that we're not in the business of taking children to kindergarten. In other words, we're not about helping people. We're about strategic control and power. And that isn't just an accidental feature. It's a feature of the imperialist system, which in my view is central to understanding how the world works, that the way in which the richest countries in the world try to control both by soft power and by hard power, not just their colonies and former colonies, but any other country in the world that they consider vital for intervention. So that was the second point that we wanted to make. The third point we wanted to make was that when you oppose a war in this country, you're always told that it's because you support the other side. You know, we've been told, well, there have been so many new Hitlers that have been introduced into the British political discourse, because we all know that the Second World War is, you know, one of the things that the right wing love to refer to all the time as, you know, the high point of British history. There's always a new Hitler. They said it about Nasser in 1956 over Suez. They've said it over Slobodan Milosevic in Serbia. They've said it over the Taliban, they said it over Saddam Hussein, they've said it over Gaddafi, you know, you just name it, they say it. And they always say that the people who oppose the wars are the people who are the friends and allies of the new Hitler and, you know, basically are taking this position because they want to support the enemy camp, is how it is often put. Now, I think this is, I mean, it's not just wrong in itself in the sense that I think for most of us, you know, we have various views in within Stop the War about any of the people that I've referred to. But in general, most people involved in Stop the War were very strongly opposed to all of these people. And that was certainly true with, for example, the Iraqis who campaigned in Stop the War were people who had been exiled under Saddam Hussein, who had been put in prison by Saddam Hussein. So the idea that they were supporting the other side was simply not true. But I think there's a wider point here as well, that, you know, the idea that an anti-war movement or peace movement has to in some way be allied to a foreign power suggests that people in Britain don't have the awareness, the intelligence, the conscience or any other aspect of their feeling and understanding, which would lead them to oppose wars anyway, regardless of the people on the other side. And I think it's an insult, really, to the anti-war movement. So we wanted to make that point as well. And the final point, I suppose, that I want to just mention is that we also talked about double standards. Now, this sends the right wing of Labour absolutely mad. They call it whataboutery. So if they say, oh, there's terrible things going on in wherever, and you say, well, hang on a minute, what about what is going on somewhere else? They say, well, that's irrelevant. Let's deal with the actual question. But it's not irrelevant, because one of the questions we have to ask about foreign policy in our country is why they do care about human rights in some countries and not in others. Why is it that in some countries this is just completely ignored? I mean, let's look most notoriously at Saudi Arabia, one of the most vile and undemocratic countries in the world, which the person who effectively rules it was the person who's been found complicit in the murder and dismemberment of a dissident journalist. I mean, these are people you imagine in a number of countries this would be grounds for sanctions and all sorts of other things. It's not anything of the sort when you talk about Saudi Arabia. Indeed, there are incredibly close links with politicians, former prime minister, the man who was up to his neck in lobbying for Greensill, David Cameron, regular visitor to Saudi Arabia, the royal family, regular visitors to Saudi Arabia, and of course, massive arms sales to Saudi Arabia. So these double standards aren't just a kind of clever debating trick. They are about the role of imperialism and how it picks and chooses its allies and how it picks and chooses what it begins to care about and what issues it wants to promote at any one time. So I think that those were the reasons we did it. I hope that people will read it and will find it a useful pamphlet. Just like to make a couple of final points before concluding, which is that I think, to go just back to Palestine for a minute, I think the Palestinians are in a terrible situation. I mean, I don't just mean the immediate situation of bombing and encroachment on their territory and all the other things. I think they're in a terrible situation because they are in a very weak position vis-a-vis what Israel is doing and all the other things that is going on. And therefore, international solidarity is incredibly important to them. We've built a very strong, generally, a movement for solidarity with Palestine going back a long time, but particularly since the cast lead in 2008, 2009, the bombing of Gaza, and again in 2014. And I think one of the big weaknesses of our side of the movement is the way in which that success in solidarity has been rolled back in recent years by the conflating of opposition to Israel with anti-Semitism. And I think we need to be able to be clear that we oppose anti-Semitism as a particularly vile and obviously very, very costly in human life, the most costly so far, I suppose, in terms of human life form of racism, in terms of the Holocaust and all the terrible things that happened to Jewish people as a result of that. But I think we also need to be able to assert that we will continue to oppose what Israel is doing. We will continue to criticize Israel. I myself, and this is my personal view, I would like to see one democratic secular state of Palestine where Jews and Muslims and Christians can all live together as they have done for hundreds of years before the intervention of imperialism in the 20th century. But I think we have to be able to make that criticism. And I hope that the demonstrations this week will mark an upsurge. Well, I'm sure they will mark an upsurge in our movement of solidarity. And that's very important in terms of beginning to combat that retreat and defeat which we've suffered over recent years. Absolutely final point is foreign policy to me, if you're a Labour Party member or if you're not, if you're on the left, people quite often say, oh, let's not bother too much about foreign policy. Lots of people said this to Jeremy when he was the leader. You know, concentrate on bread and butter issues and domestic policy and all this kind of thing. To me, foreign policy is domestic policy. And we see the way that successive politicians use these issues, and they use them quite effectively sometimes to try to divide and rule working class people. And I think, therefore, for us, an orientation towards foreign policy, a criticism of our government, an understanding that we could have a very different sort of foreign policy based on, you know, cooperation, justice, and so on, is something that we should really see as very, very much central to our politics. So I think I'll end it there. And thank you very much for listening. And obviously, if people have got questions, I'm very happy to take them.
Thanks very much, Lindsay. That's brilliant. Yes, we agree so much. That pamphlet's already played a very important role in these times. And, you know, it seems like this year seems a very momentous year, being the 20th year since the invasion of Afghanistan, the 20th year of the formation of Stop the War. And it looks like the whole anti-war movement needs to seize the time, as it were, and take these things up. And I think that pamphlet you've outlined and your views on the Palestine is very important contribution.